Now, here's Brian Allen.
If I could talk to the animals, just imagine it chatting with a chimp and chimpanzee. Imagine talking to a tiger, chatting with a cheetah. What a neat achievement it would be. If I could talk to the animals, learn all their languages, maybe take an animal degree.
Yes. Well, our next guest may not be Dr. Doolittle, but she claims to be able to talk to the animals and use something called body talk to not only overcome illness in animals, but in people as well. Am I skeptical? Of course I'm skeptical. I'm always skeptical, aren't you? With me in the studio is Lucia Jacob. Lucia calls herself a certified body talk and animal talk instructor and practitioner. Hi, Lucia.
Hi, Brian. Thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure having you here.
And don't forget James Herriot.
James Herriot.
Because when you talk to the animals, right. You have a lot of stories to tell
after. Absolutely. You bet. Yeah, I'll tell you. Well, listen, we've heard the term body language. What is body talk?
Body talk is an international modality of energy medicine. And what we're doing is we're teaching people to realize that their bodies are always healing themselves and that we can reestablish communication within the system of our bodies so that it can more effectively heal itself again.
So this really goes right across from animals to humans.
Absolutely. Animals, humans, and plants.
So you talk to animals.
That's the rumor.
That's the rumor.
What the animals have been saying.
Now, you don't really talk. I mean, I remember the talking mule and all this stuff on television. You don't really talk to them verbally, but somehow you're able to tune into what's in their head, what's going on in their bodies. Is that how this works?
Yeah, I would like to call it something like maybe intercellular communication.
Wow.
There seems to be an energy that we all carry and send and receive between each other, and so do the animals. So we use our subtle senses to perceive that energetic interaction, and we translate it into, for us, it's the English language. And for me, the ability to communicate with animals and all of nature and humans took me to the body talk system, which gave me an amazing tool in which to use this ability.
So in a sense then, because of the fact our use of language then, we become somewhat desensitized to these other signals that not only people but animals give off then.
I think so.
Yeah. So give us some examples how you're able to pick up from an animal what's ailing them? What's going on with them? What do you do?
When I get together with an animal, I will use the body talk system as one of my tools for picking up information. But so for me, it's two different things when I'm using body talk as a modality or if I'm an animal communicator. And my animal communication skills can be used through the body talk system as well. So if I'm going in as an animal communicator, then I am being aware of the energy of the animal and I'm perceiving visions from them. So pictures, animals love to send pictures, and I can smell things in my imagination, taste things in my imagination, hear things in my imaginations, and feel things in my imagination. But actually it's the animal sending energetic information that I'm picking up on. The animals have an amazing ability when we pick up this information energetically and translate it, that when we translate it verbally, they seem to want to language with their physical body. So then they're communicating with their physical body, with body language, and showing us that the information we've picked up is congruent.
So you're able to read that.
I am.
And confirm from their body language that what you're hearing inside is right. You work extensively with horses too, don't you?
I do a lot of work with horses, and I've also been very gifted to be able to travel around the world and work with things like elephants, orangutans, dolphins, lions, tigers, and the list goes on.
So when you try to communicate with a tiger, are these guys really as angry inside as they appear to be, or what's going on?
No, they're not. They seem to have a very high intelligence. And I was taken to a monastery in Thailand where the monks are actually raising the tigers in the monastery, living with them. And their belief system is they see it as their brothers and sisters. So it was a very honor to be able to work with those tigers and have a discussion with them, so to speak, and also to do some body talk for their healing and have an exchange with them.
What do animals feel about the fact that we domesticate them, that we use them? You know, we take the horse and we make the horse run fast so we can make money. You know, we put birds in cages. We do all of this. Do these animals really, do they give you the sense that they're suffering, that they're struggling, that their lives are a mess because of this? Are they upset and angry with us for doing that?
So far, it's been my perception on the whole that they seem to, maybe they've volunteered to be teachers. And it seems that even a lot of the ones that I've worked with in the zoos, they seem to be very proud that they're ambassadors. And it's a time when I think that the animal communicators like myself are being able to speak for these animals. And to a large degree, the animals are integrating and helping us. So they're helping us heal. They're teaching us things. They're showing ourselves us back to ourselves through themselves. And to a large degree, a lot of them really enjoy being with us.
Do animals understand the concept of death? Do they understand their own demise?
It's been my experience that they do. I was working, I could tell a little story. I was working in Singapore with an amazing vet, Dr. Lai, and he works with a lot of animals in transition. And so we had a little Jack Russell that came in. And the Jack Russell was about 15 years old. It had kidney failure. And he was really on his way out. But Dr. Lai does not believe in euthanization, so he allows the animals to go through transition on their own. So when he called me in and I did first some animal communication and then I did some body talk, so balance the energy systems of the animal so he could transition easier. But the biggest request from the dog was he wasn't going to leave until he had a party. And I couldn't understand what he meant by he wouldn't leave before he had a party. So I told the owners and they started laughing. It was the dog's birthday 2 days before. So I said to them, well, maybe you want to go home and get a birthday cake and have a party for your dog before he goes. So they said, sure, and we did some energy balancing through body talk to help the body to be in an optimal position to leave the, to die, if we want to call it that. And they went home and they had a birthday party and they said they blew out the candles and within 20 minutes the dog transitioned and went through the dying process.
So when we take an animal, a beloved pet, and we have to have them euthanized, should we have someone like you there?
I would love to see veterinarians and the medical system integrate energy medicine first off, and body talk is very complementary integrative energy medicine, but also people that are doing animal communication, because I think that it's an area with the veterinarians where we don't always have enough time to help the families go through their animal's transition and death. And a lot of times there seems to be a lot of messaging or healing that takes place when the animal dies. And it's also been my experience that a lot of times the animals are seem to be mirroring or carrying a lot of our illnesses for us. And so they're actually helping us heal.
We're talking with Lucia Jacobs, body talk practitioner, talks to animals and to people, and in doing so helps them recover from illness or, as she said, transition through some very difficult times in our lives. For you folks out there, do you believe animals can communicate with us? Have you had any experiences yourself with this? Do you have a question for our guest this morning? Our lines are open. Give us a call here, 357-1280 or 1-800-668-2569 on the toll-free line. So we have here, you work with horses. You work
yes,
with
I work with a lot of horses.
Racehorses are very valuable animals. So this must be a feather in your cap to realize that the owners of these very expensive highly bred animals are putting their animals, their faith, in your hands.
I'm honored, and I'm honored that the race industry is looking at supporting their horses in another way than the traditional way. They're doing a lot of work in supporting their animals and getting them to race more effectively, but the fact that a lot of these people are now turning to energy medicine, massage therapy, and other alternative modalities, and including some of us as animal communicators, I think is a very powerful sign that the caring for the horse has come to another level. And what we're finding when we go in and work with these horses, it makes such a difference in their racing ability. Sometimes it's something as simple as they don't like the guy who stalled beside them. And if you move them into another stall, the next day they have a great day at the races. So there's a lot of very subtle things that if we could pick this up with the horses, it makes their lives happier, it helps them to run better, and a lot of them, because they're bred to run, they love to run. But if we could support them more naturally, then we don't have to be incorporating as many potential drugs or harmful side effect modalities we're using, and we could talk to them more naturally, and we're going to get a lot more performance out of them. But it's because they want to perform. And if we can help them to be comfortable in some of these subtle ways, it makes a huge difference.
Is there sexism among horses? I mean, you know, I mean, I'll tell you what, a stallion must really not like it when he gets beaten by a filly in a race, right?
But, you know, some of those guys want to be really polite and let the woman go first.
Oh, really? So horses still open doors for women, okay?
And, you know, having said all that, we do have to be careful as animal communicators not to anthropomorphize these animals, because they are still animals and they're from the animal kingdom. So we have to keep that in mind, that we don't turn them into humans either.
Right, and we try to do that, don't we, in literature and in television and the cartoon business and so on. What went through your mind? You probably saw it. I guess it was the last Kentucky Derby, when that poor horse went down and died right on the track. What went through your mind?
I didn't see it because I was overseas traveling. So if I would go back and think of what went through my mind, I don't remember how he, did he have an accident?
Yeah, the horse actually broke both front ankles. They snapped just like sticks. The horse went down on the track. Was running very well, by the way, was doing very well, and they just euthanized it right then and there in front of the entire crowd and everything. It was probably the worst day in the history of the Kentucky Derby.
I think that if I would have had any choice, I would have liked to take a moment to have more respect in the passing of that animal. And it does seem that animals still like ceremony, and they still seem to like to be honored in their journeys and their teachings they've given us as they leave. And I see this over and over again with the animals that I work with, that they really appreciate the fact that we honor them. So the fact that they're transitioning or they're having accidents and dying, it doesn't seem to be the issue. It seems to be that we could, as humans, still respect the animal and what they've done for us and what they've shown us and taught us in while they've been here. So when they have moments like that, euthanizing the horse may have been the most appropriate thing to do, but taking a moment to have a form of celebration for that horse, I think, is something that makes a huge difference for that energy that seems to carry on when the vehicle of the horse is gone.
Do you detect a spirituality in animals?
I think that the horses of our domestic animals would be one of the most spiritual beings that we're coming in contact with from the domestic animals. The cats seem to be more in the realm of psychic protectors, and they don't seem to take on a lot of our stuff, but they're amazing healers. They can lay on us and calibrate their purr to the right frequency to heal something. The dogs seem to be more loyal, take it till the death do us part, and they'll help us. They'll take on our illnesses. They'll sniff out our illnesses. They'll tell us when we're having epileptic fits before they happen. They'll tell us when we have cancers before we can detect them. And the horses seem to take me into a whole other realm, and they seem to have this spiritual thing about them and this intuitive ability to help us with our emotional bodies as well.
And the Aboriginal people, of course, the North American natives, they've always felt a very close kinship and a spirituality involved with horses.
Yeah, and the horse would be very a powerful carrier of power and energy for the shaman. And I would agree with the Aboriginals in that the animals they have respected for so many years, they would a lot of times not have a teepee without a dog, because they knew that the dog would keep the family healthy. And their ability also to communicate with the nature and the animals is a strong teacher for me as well.
Does your kinship with animals and your understanding of their behavior and your ability to communicate with them, Lucia, does this explain to you why domestic animals tend to gravitate towards the elderly, and why the elderly seem to thrive and do better in the company of pets?
Absolutely. I think that there's an energy that the animal carries, and I like to think about it as some form of a heart-based energy, and an energy that they emanate from their core of themselves that has the ability to heal anything. And when the animal and the dog, especially the therapy dogs, are going into some of the homes, they can elicit some very profound change and healings in the emotional selves and physical selves sometimes of some of the clients. So I don't know that I can explain how the animals are doing it, and I think that's maybe why I'm traveling around the world listening to the animals, but it seems to be something there, it's coming from the heart.
But it seems to be some supportive evidence, so that what you're talking about certainly has some validity, doesn't it? Still lots more to talk about. We're going to shift from animal body talk to human body talk after we take a break. Our guest is Lucia Jacobs, body talk practitioner, animal communicator. We'll be right back. All right, we're back with our guest, Lucia Jacobs, body talk practitioner, also animal communicator. You wanted to make something very clear here with respect to the terminology we're using. Talk a little bit about that, Lucia.
Well, I travel around the world teaching a modality called the Body Talk System. And I also teach Body Talk for humans, and they can learn to use the techniques of Body Talk for their families and also become certified practitioners. But I'm